This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. Airwaves is, of course, dominating the capital this weekend, but it's not just about music. There are various other events as well associated with Iceland Airwaves. One of them is what we're going to talk about today. It's a partner event. It's taking place at Tjarnabíó in the capital on Saturday and Sunday. So the first performance is tomorrow. It's called Dead Air, and it's a comedy, drama, horror. I'm going to check with the writer and performer, Alvaron Rose, to see if all of those words fit. Do they?
I hope so, yeah. I hope it's funny, horrifying and sad.
Okay. Now, you are Icelandic, but you spent a lot of time outside of the country and are back.
Yeah, I've been back for the past 4 or 5 years. I came back during COVID to do an MA in creative writing at Háskóli Íslands. But yeah, I grew up in England. Both my parents were Icelandic, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and let's talk about this show then, Dead Air, because it I guess it's got a bit of a Black Mirror feel to it as well, hasn't it? The idea that technology can scare us in ways that maybe we didn't expect it would.
Yeah, I think it definitely has a hint towards Black Mirror. I think Black Mirror is quite a speculative TV show, so it sort of predicts into the future. My play is really using technology that exists, so it's even scarier because it's not just a dystopia that sometime in the future it's happening right
now.
Already happening, yeah.
But you were watching a documentary about AI that can simulate conversations with people who have died. And, I mean, if that's not already a service that people can buy, it feels like it's no more than about 6 months away, doesn't it?
It is already a service that people can buy. So it's there are existing chatbot companions where you can upload the data of a lost loved one. Or you can even yourself upload your own data for your loved ones to use after you're dead so they can speak to you. But obviously, it's still in the beginning of stages, just like any AI is. And it's in the show, I use sort of glasses as if I'm seeing the person as well, which is an experimental technology. And in the documentary that I watched, actually, there was a woman doing a VR experience of her seven-year-old lost daughter, which was very heartbreaking because you saw her try to hug the air from a certain camera angle. And she actually said it was good, but also the child was too well behaved, so it wasn't so that was the creepy thing about it. What I'm trying to tap into with this show is really what is creepy about it, yes, but also why we would use it, because there are millions of users of chatbot companions like ChatGPT already. Yes. So we're already in this, and it's, you know, we already use photographs, videos, lots of things to sort of nostalgically remember the dead. And resurrection, you know, yeah. Jesus made it famous. It's been around for a long time, and we've been trying to contact the dead for a long time. It's nothing new. It's just a new technology.
And I wonder, did you have a particular person in mind yourself personally when you wrote this?
Yeah, my dad, whose sense of humour sort of runs through this, a very like sort of fisherman's dark sense of humour, Icelandic dad jokes, he died a couple of years ago. And I think part of the reason this is an Airwaves partner event is because he worked in the music industry and was much beloved as a manager and just a sort of backstage guy who, yeah. And so he, in the play, it's a sort of shadow self of me and a shadow self of my dad, an AI version of my dad. And it's a sort of what if I made all the worst decisions and followed all my worst instincts and resurrected my dad.
From what you've researched and learned about this in the process of writing this play and staging it and all of that, would you want to use this technology either to communicate with your late father or with someone else, or has it scared you off the possibility?
I wouldn't personally want to use this technology. I'm quite a pragmatic person and I like to sort of keep things simple. But I am starting to understand why somebody would use this technology. Some research that I read actually described it as if you were talking to an actor or in some sort of drama therapy, where you gave the technology a certain, you know, certain characteristics, and then you might want to use it to, I don't know, discuss some unfinished business or stuff that you maybe couldn't discuss with that person while they were alive. You know, we all have things that we might have wanted to say.
Is the AI doing improv then? It sounds a little bit like it is.
I mean, that is quite a good description of it, really, because, and also you can change the sort of temperature, they call it in AI speak, of the AI. So in any chat companion, they have a sort of certain amount of settings, and if you go to a higher temperature, it improvs more, and that's when you have more risk of what we call hallucinations, where it just makes stuff up. But really, the AI is just sort of trying to, within the parameters that you've set for it, sort of follow the patterns and give that back to you. I mean, it is obviously quite scary hearing somebody's voice back to you, but it's also quite comforting. I find myself listening back to sort of short video clips of my dad, and I think everybody does.
And that's always happened, hasn't it? People have looked at photographs and video clips or old cine films or whatever it happens to be of people who've passed on. So that isn't new. But what's new here, I suppose, is that you've got the technology which is able to remix and represent reality back to you with such seeming accuracy.
Yeah, and are we mature enough for it? Like, our little monkey brains, do we really understand that that's what's going on? You know, when I watched this documentary and when I read about people's experiences with the hallucinations in this context, that can be quite dangerous. You know, somebody in a vulnerable position, having you know, somebody that sounds and looks just like their lost loved one, their dead father, you know, no less, who might have quite the influence over them in life, and so somebody saying something harmful or saying something that doesn't fit. I mean, you know, from using ChatGPT, most of us, that it gets things wrong all the time.
Yes.
But we somehow, because it's technology, we somehow just think that it's going to make it. Like, honestly, I tried to make it count how many tickets I'd sold yesterday on, like, showed it a picture of a seating plan, and it got it so wrong, like, because it can't count visual imagery like that. And I was like, well, what am I doing? Just use your eyes.
I tried to get it to plot various locations onto an outline map of Iceland. It had about 10 attempts, and it just could not do it. It could not figure out a way of doing it. At least on that occasion, it admitted that it couldn't, because I've also seen AI double down on something that you know is wrong, and you tell it it's wrong, it then tries to tell you why you're wrong for thinking it's wrong.
So maybe that is exactly like getting into an argument with your parents. I don't know. Maybe that's quite realistic. But no, and I mean, like, we have to think about the energy consumption that it's using for, I mean, there are also people looking at sort of memorializing the dead. And I wonder how much energy consumption we're using in memorializing someone so that they're available to us at any given moment for 400 years. Versus, you know, is Iceland going to turn into one big server farm? Because this is the perfect place to call these databases. So there's, you know, there's very serious issues involved in thinking about AI as well.
And also, I think, on a much more personal level, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that this kind of technology gets in the way of the grieving process, which is a very natural thing that humans have to go through. And if you have a facility like this that allows you to hang on to a version of the person who has passed away, it's possible that people won't be able to grieve or get to the next stage of grief.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of ideas around that. And I think we just don't necessarily know, because you can get stuck in a grieving process, whatever.
Yes.
It was interesting, the man who created Project December, which is one of these grief bot services, he put a 3-month limitation on it, which is what I use in my show because it's good for drama, but also because he didn't want people to get stuck with this. So there are all sorts of...
What does that mean, after the 3 months, what happens?
So that grief bot will die, essentially, which is, again, another
second death.
But then I was like, well, surely you can just resurrect them again, but they'll never be the same. So each time you use an AI, it doesn't exactly configure it the same way. So you'll get a different person each time, which is, you know, strange, but it's sort of like what we are as people anyway. So I had to really think very deeply about what version of my dad or what version of the dad she was resurrecting and why.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what version of you are you today versus 20 years ago,
or you know,
how you speak to your children different to how you, you know, so essentially, for my money, like, you are always talking to yourself. And part of that in the play that I do, you know, I am always talking to myself on stage, even though I put on different voices and characters. Part of that is a little bit meta, like that really, you know, from the grieving process perspective, I personally, I think that at some point you have to reach out to your community and be, you know, and talk to people. And,
yes.
And I don't think that can be replaced.
And there are a vast number of different themes, obviously, around AI and the way that it's used in chatbots, which we've discussed in this conversation. It sounds like you had a lot of potential themes and material to feed in to the play as you were writing it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think essentially it came down to the grief, essentially. Mm. So my grief, what I went through, sort of fed into it quite a lot, and how I felt this kind of like stuckness of not being able to admit that person was gone. And so from that, I found the reason why I would, or anybody else would, want to do something like this, to just try and do something, anything, to talk to that person and resurrect them and keep them alive. And as an atheist, and my dad was an atheist as well, I really struggled to sort of pray to him or talk to him in any other sense. So I thought technology would be the sort of most logical way to for somebody who doesn't believe in anything spiritual. So I found that quite interesting, because and I actually came to the conclusion in the end that we are all, I don't know if spiritual is the right word, but we are all in need of, you know, some sort of process or ritual to grieve, and I think that we need to find that, whatever it is, for us. And I try not to be too harsh on the idea of the AI, because philosophically I don't know if it's good or bad. I think that the corporate element of it, the environmental element of it, the, you know, data usage, that's all like questionable, but we've yet to see, you know. And I do think that these services are going to be used, and I think we need to talk about them and discuss them and also just make ourselves available to each other.
Yeah, and there's also a case, isn't there, that having important stuff in the hands of tech bros, even if they have invented that important stuff, it's not necessarily the best way to proceed. But that's another theme that maybe could be picked up in a different conversation, who knows. So Dead Air is the play. It's on tomorrow, Saturday, and it's on Sunday as well, 4 o'clock each day in Tjarnabio. And it is, as we said, a partner event of Iceland Airwaves. So if someone's got a pass for the festival, they get a discount to this.
Yeah, absolutely, through the Iceland Airwaves ticket portal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we'll put a link up to the page where you can buy tickets for this performance, or one of the two performances on Saturday or Sunday. What are your plans here in Iceland beyond this?
So I'm actually moving back to England, but I've taken a week to just be with my 93-year-old grandma after this and do some knitting and enjoy the Icelandic darkness and winter.
It's fabulous, isn't
the
it?
The drama,
it's,
yeah.
It's great. I love it. Do you miss Iceland?
Yeah, of course. I always miss Iceland. I wish it was like, I wish London and Iceland were next to each other completely. But
how often do you come back?
A lot. As a kid, I came here 3 or 4 times a year. My grandma was sort of my second parent.
Yes, because so. A lot of Icelanders do want to. I did it the other way. I moved from the UK to Iceland and find myself home. But a lot of Icelanders move away from the country and then return in later life.
My parents, certainly, they moved back after 30 years during COVID. It took a world event to make them move back,
but I
think they were very happy here, yeah.
Mm. And they will have seen a lot of changes, because we were saying before we switched on the microphone, I first came to this country as a visitor in 1998. That was our first trip, and we have noticed changes just as visitors over many years. They must have seen changes over a 3-decade span.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the main changes is there are a lot more people walking around the streets these days, you know, a lot more tourists, but also just Icelanders like on bicycles and walking. We used to just drive down Laugavegur, like as a, it's called Drumtir, where you like go have a look at the people and, you know, see what's going on. So, and now that's not even possible anymore, so that's a big change.
Yeah, I remember that too, driving down Laugavegur when it was still open to vehicles all the way, and of course it's not. And you can probably hear the noise around us just now. We are in a branch of Reykjavik Roasters, one of the coffee shops, which is doing tremendous business, and it is only 10:30 in the morning. So the country does feel a lot more, for better or worse, lively and busy than it maybe it did 30 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and you know, festivals like Iceland Airwaves have had a lot to do with that, because when I was little, people just about knew who Björk was, and not how to say her name.
Yes.
They were just like, that crazy lady.
Yeah.
I love Björk, no, she's not crazy. But there was definitely like a big mystery around Iceland, and it wasn't as, now it's on everyone's bucket list. I keep telling people, go in the summer or go to Iceland Airwaves. Like, don't go in the high winter and expect to see the Northern Lights.
Yes, well, I tell people to go in the winter, because genuinely love the Icelandic winter. This is my favorite time of year. And when the sun doesn't come up till 11 o'clock in the morning, that's my happy place.
Fair enough. I mean, we all have I like to go hiking in the summer. But yeah, I mean, I love the winter, but that's, I feel like that's because I have family and friends here, so I can go and sit by candlelight and do knitting and just have a little chat. But I feel a bit sorry for all the tourists when the weather really hits hard and they're searching for the Northern Lights and they're nowhere to be found.
Yes. And on that point, if you're wondering why you might not see them in winter, the skies have to be clear, is the point. If it's cloudy and snowing, you're not going to see anything. We're not going to see the moon, never mind the Northern Lights, are you?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time today, Alfred. Looking forward to this show tomorrow and on Sunday. It's called Dead Air. It's on at Tjarnabio, and a link on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. And we will talk to you doubtless the next time you're here.
Thank you so much, Darren.
It's Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.